Please join me in prayer. O gracious and holy Father, give us wisdom to perceive you, diligence to seek you, eyes to behold you, a heart to meditate upon you, and a life to proclaim you through the power of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I don't know about you, but for me, this has been a good week. Each piece that was paired with all the other pieces. Yes, overall, there were the occasional hiccup, the full stops, the rerouting, or in some cases, even tears shed. However, the Spirit was burning so brightly and recalibrating all these things within me. Each member of the Trinity was pouring transformative love into me. Then, in turn, I share with you. I will forewarn you on a couple things of caution that might come in and from my sermon today. First, I'll be using a lot of different imagery within my sermon. Each of us has different pictures that help us to interpret a common idea. Along with that, there are lots that are things that are happening within this text and the relationship between us and those John is writing to. Second, I want us to think about how we can continue to create an intentional middle ground, using this place and others when we come together, no matter which way we sway, that we will continue to be intentional in demonstrating God's love to all our neighbors and those within our communities. Adding to this, love that is full of grace, what that can look like, and how we can be exampling these gifts throughout our lives. Third, there might be something that God is stirring up within you today, or maybe later this week. Those habits, thoughts, opinions that are made to be needed and to reform and transform, and simply sometimes just to be looked at. Then asking that you sit with that, and if when pondering it raises more questions, know that I'm available to you and to listen. Lots of things happening back here. Okay, going back to the first caveat, the imaginary, the images that were inspired by this text, the immediate image that comes to me is wildfire. Fires that have developed by the perfectly imperfect, unwanted combinations of multiple conditions that have happened throughout the forest and dry land. Fires that can start with the fuel that is at play, which requires us to look around, seeing if we have a mixture of grass, types of trees, shrubs, bushes, and the occasional propane tank. For some who have trained to have an eye to look at and decide these things, I would also look at the drying conditions, long-term drying conditions, types of fuels, the terrain, live versus dead things, the underbrush and the compactness, all these things that I could go on for hours if I wanted to, but I won't. Before I leave this idea, I'll also point out the factoring of the weather conditions, the winds, the rain, the drought, etc. All these pieces coming together. Now, I will switch to the other thing I'm learning more and more about, which is baking. The ingredients needed, the recipes that you will follow, and those that we have found and adapted. Or like a supernova in the sky when pretty is so pretty when looked at through a telescope and the pieces that you can see with just your naked eye. Each example that I'm using focus on what the environments are that we have found ourselves in, along with how is this affecting our connection and relationship with God. It is noticeable, or is it something that has been developing over time? Or when the fog clears of busyness, of life circumstances, etc., that what is being revealed to us has begun to corrode. Not to the point of destruction, but to the point that maintenance needs to happen. Moments of restoration, of recalibration, renewal, and recommissioning to those gifts, talents, and ministries that make our hearts sing and light the fire within us. What started this fire within us is the love of God poured out from Christ, full of mercy and grace into the disciples before his death and resurrection. Then poured once again when Christ was preparing to ascend, gathering those who were scattered, afraid, weary, and unsure, coming to bring them to the assurances, the nourishment, guidance, and sending them out once more into the world. We also encounter within this section of the story the taking place of restoration back into the community. Not that he ever left the community, but the community was dispersed, spreading apart out of the fear of potential persecution, frustration over past events, and confusion to the way forward, along with the uncertainty at the welcome that they would receive as they followed the new commandments given to them at the Last Supper. We enter after they have filled their nets to overflow and have recognized Christ at the shore and greeting them with nourishment. Within this glimpse, we reflect on our own circumstances wherever we find ourselves in this moment being asked these same questions. Do you love me? Then asking, how does this question impact us? It is within the love being poured out into us that we are called to feed the beloved, including in this commission all created in the image of God, living life on this planet, in this country, in this state, in our neighborhoods, and in this community that we worship within and those within and outside of this building. Not only with food that fills the belly, but food of nourishing our souls to go forth once again into the breach. Love that is filled in our actions, tending to those who do not look like us and those who do. Those within the flocks or the ones that are lost that we need to tend to. Asking ourselves as a collective community, what else can we and can this look like? What is being inspired within this community is to live out in care of God to one another, in small, medium, or in big ways. Love which circles back to the feeding of the sheep. However, being tied into the uncomfortableness, the uncertainty, and unbelievable ways that Christ is calling us to serve. Focusing on the line that stood out for me, that when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Pondering on this for me is when we've been led by God to our ministries, our acts of services, and going where we might not want to go. However, in those powerful moments, looking back, we see God's guidance throughout, recalling within ourselves those times when we've been unable to be as independent as we want to as people. When we want to just rely solely on ourselves. Ooh, there you go. Spirit speaks, I tell you. And when we've asked to receive help. Asking for and receiving that does not come naturally for me. I am really bad about asking for help sometimes. And just thinking there might be some more stubbornness within our collective gathering. Those who might be Norwegian, Swedes, Irish, German. All those that I think you might understand that it's kind of hard to ask for help at times. However, when we search through all those moments within our lives, those we've had a clear calling or nudging by God saying, follow me, and that we do. Taking those first steps either hesitantly or boldly, assured that this is the path, but perhaps we are being rerouted. Forging forward because our trust is firmly established, or tentatively tapping our foot to make sure that the ground is firm. Each path, each moment, we collectively come together knowing that we are not called to journey alone, but in community. Community that has fed us, guides us, and those that we are commissioned to do great things. Not giving all of ourselves to be burned out, but have continual nourishment so that we, in turn, can give to others and be a source of refreshment. We can come to the middle. The forest is cleared of the dangers, the fire risk, and the debris, so all can sit unafraid of harsh judgment or condemnation, having conversations to find our commonality rather than our divisiveness, and live God's love into the world once more. Amen.